God's creatures got a place in the choir. Some sing low and some sing higher. Some sing out loud on a telephone wire. Some just clap their hands, a pause, or anything they got. Now, all God's creatures got a place in the choir. Some sing low and some sing higher. Some sing out loud on a telephone wire. Some just clap their hands, a pause, or anything they got. Now,
hello, everybody. It's your hostess, Trish Swain, bringing you the Bunny Hugger Show from here at America Matters Media. And Bunny Huggers, as you know by now, is the show that brings you talks with the people who devote themselves to animals. There are so many inspiring, dedicated, and compassionate people, and what a joy and privilege to bring them to you on a weekly basis. We have a repeat guest today, and I'm going to go on a little bit about her biography and then introduce you to her and her to you. And this is my great joy and privilege to have Terry Farley with us. Terry's name is synonymous with advocacy for wild horses. I have to admit, I haven't kept up, and so I am glad Terry is here to alert us to the current situation with wild horses. And you might want to know she is the best-selling author of the Phantom Stallion series for young readers, Seven Tears into the Sea. And Terry's work has sold over 2 million copies in 27 countries, and she has taught readers and writers workshops for kindergarten to postgraduate-level audiences in the U.S. and Canada. And that's not all. She's written Wild at Heart, Mustangs, and The Young People Fighting to Save Them. And now, today, she is with us, and she is part of our community here in the Reno-Sparks area. So good morning, Terry. Thank you so much for coming over.
Good morning. I'm happy to be here.
And you and I were talking. We're talking about so much to say about horses, wild horses, all that in general, advocacy for animals. Oh, my gosh, there's no end to what we could talk about. And we thought that we might talk about this forum that's coming up actually tomorrow, which will be October the 23rd. And this is called Horse Rich, Dirt Poor. And I saw it on one of the television websites, and I know you are better informed than I am. So what do you think about this forum that's coming up? What is it concern?
Well, the first I heard of it was a very good thing, is that Senator Catherine Cortez Masto had a get-together in her office of the stakeholders who have opinions about wild horses. And what I noticed is some people who are very environmentally conscious kept mentioning wild horse behavior that just, you know, I've been doing this for about 35 years, and it's stuff that I haven't seen. It turns out when I spoke with them that they were basing it on a film called Horse Rich, Dirt Poor. And you can watch that on YouTube if you want. And it is put out by the Wilderness Society, which is not exactly what it sounds like. You might Google the members of that. And it's also directed by Ben Masters, who is affiliated with Protect the Harvest. I'm mentioning Protect the Harvest because if you have any concerns about animals as anything other than product, you need to take a look at that. It's a multi-million dollar group that supports puppy mills, that supports fur, that supports trapping of all kinds, and really anti-wildlife, although they say they're supported by hunters. Anyway, so because my background's in journalism, I always consider the source. So when I saw who sponsored this movie, I wanted to watch it. And so tomorrow night, this is going to be shown by people that I normally would think know a lot about the environment. But this is a very skillfully produced piece of film. I won't say propaganda, but it is. One of the first things you'll notice is hundreds of wild horses stampeding to water. Well, I've been on the range and watching wild horses for years, the only time you'll see groups of horses that large is if they're being chased. And once in a while with drones, and I look at the film carefully, you may see a drone. Or when the Bureau of Land Management is rounding up horses and they send helicopters all over the range and then bring the horses together in one large group. And so it starts with what really is a fallacy, that there are hundreds of horses that are stampeding into our riparian areas on the range. I'll give you one of my experiences in just a minute about water and horses. The thing about this movie that I think is most one-sided is that they talk about overgrazing only as an equine problem, a horse problem. There's one mention of cattle by one of the fish guys that's in this film, but they very rarely mention overgrazing by cattle, and they don't mention mining, and they don't mention climate change. All of those things are having an impact on the range far larger than the dwindling groups of horses. And, you know, the first sage grouse I ever saw had been flattened by mining equipment. And there are far more problems. You know, these animals, the wildlife, and I'm putting horses in that category because they have been on our range for millions of years with maybe a gap at the end of the Third Ice Age. But they've been existing without human help, or let's call it management, for a long, long time. And if you've ever been to the rangeland after a roundup of wild horses, you'll notice the silence. You won't hear birds. You won't hear bugs. And that's because all of those animals are dependent on each other. The birds peck at the horse droppings, the bugs follow the birds. And that's another thing I would love for someone who is an expert on birds to listen to this film, Horse Rich and Dirt Poor, because I think they have layered in some bird song that doesn't exist in the places where, I mean, it doesn't exist because those birds aren't there in some of the places. So I'm going to pause there for a minute.
Well, that is an excellent summary. I really appreciate it, Terry. And I think this is very important information to be armed with if you're going to go to this forum or watch this film. And there is going to be, as a matter of fact, a meeting before the film. Where does it say that in this article I have here? Okay, the American Wild Horse Campaign will hold a press conference prior to the event at the Nevada Museum of Art. So this event, which will be, I must say, pro-wild horse, will be held at the Lake Mansion at 4 in the afternoon, which will be Wednesday, the 23rd of October. And then they do use the word propaganda, referring to this film, and will be very informative. So if you have strong feelings on the topic one way or the other, there are some outlets for you to be better informed.
Well, one thing I'd drop in there is the National Academy of Sciences has, which their job as part of, I mean, the National Academy of Sciences is unbiased. And when they did an assessment of the Bureau of Land Management program, one of the really important points they made was that BLM has no clue how many horses are on the range, because each of the herd management areas, the different BLM offices, use different statistical models. Now, I've been told that they've improved that, but they're still making estimates. Another thing I've got to tell you about, and this court decision just came out yesterday. A member of,
you know what, Terry, we tell us this. We definitely want to hear this, but first we have a little interruption, so we will have a few messages, and then we'll come back.
Join the Funtime Theater this fall as we make the history of the Comstock come alive with Voices from the Past. A walking tour of the Silver Terrace Cemetery in Virginia City. Each year, 12 actors portray past residents of the Comstock, sharing their life and death in the Old West. Shows are Saturday and Sundays, September 28th through October 13th at 10 a.m. and 1 p.m. daily. Visit FuntimeTheater.com to make your reservations and use promo code RADIO for $5 off each adult admission. That's FuntimeTheater.com. Promo code RADIO.
Looking for family entertainment? How about remote-controlled car racing on Nevada's largest indoor dirt track? Whippet RC Raceway and Hobbies. No equipment or racing skill is necessary. Rental cars are available and the staff will instruct you. All ages are welcome, with classes for beginners, weekly races, and a monthly competition with a $100 cash prize. Want to buy your own 1/10th scale RC car or need parts on repairs? Whippet has a full hobby shop featuring recognized brands like Losely, Associated, Traxxas, Axial, and more, and now carries drones and drone parts. Whippet is the perfect venue for birthday parties or company and other special events. That's Whippet RC Raceway and Hobbies, located at 1005 Standard Street off Panther Drive exit in North Reno. Give them a call today at 775-686-8415. On Facebook and Instagram, search for Whippet RC, offering family fun for everyone 5 days a week, Wednesday through Sunday.
Once a powerful leader in the world of finance and insurance, a now-retired Jim Stannard has taken on a new role as a singer-songwriter, fulfilling a dream that has burned for more than four decades, working with platinum-selling rocker Kip Winger and Afghan Whigs guitarist John Skibik to bring his songs to life. His debut release, Bucket List, has been met with enthusiasm. CD Baby syndicated writer Tony Mastriani wrote, "This album is refreshing and most probably more interesting than what you've been listening to this year. It is my sleeper pick for best independent label album thus far in 2018. Jim Hines from Make a Scene agreed. Some gems here. Stannard has both a gift for poetry and narrative, drawing from a well of influences that include such diverse artists as Warren Zevon, The Who, David Bromberg, and Robert Earl Keane. Bucket List's 11 original songs makes up what Roots Music Report calls a grows on you set from a fresh and highly believable voice. Order your copy at jimstannardmusic.com or download wherever digital music is sold.
Imagine being fired because of who you love. Imagine being denied medical treatment because of who you marry. Imagine being evicted because of who you are. Millions of Americans don't have to imagine this. They have to live it. Because in 31 states, it's legal to discriminate against LGBT people. Get the facts at beyondido.org. Brought to you by the Gill Foundation and the Ad Council.
This is America Matters Media on AM 1180 KCKQ.
A Lotus broadcast station.
The power of radio since 1967.
Dogs and the cats, they take up the middle where the honeybee hums and the cricket fiddles. The donkey brays and the pony neighs. The old gray badger sighs.
Listen to the bass, it's the one on the bottom where the bullfrog croaks and the hippopotamus moans and groans with the big to-do and the old cow just goes moo.
To join the conversation, call 844-790-TALK. That's 844-790-8255. Now back to the show.
Okay, we're riding back in. Here we are, back with you. It is Trish Swain with the Bunny Hugger Show, and we are with Terry Farley today. And Terry is an advocate for wild horses, an author, and someone who came to us today to talk about the truth about wild horses. And that covers a lot of ground. So we're just talking about this film showing that is going to take place Wednesday, the 23rd of October. And we're also going to talk about some things that have been in the news lately. And one that I was very curious about is the fact that so many humane organizations and animal advocates around the country are speaking out against the whole business of horse racing. Well, Terry, thank you again for being with us. And what do you think about horse racing?
When I was a little girl, I thought it was great because it was one time I got to see horses on television. As I've gotten older and learned more about horses and their physical development, I've realized that horses running as 2 and 3 year olds are babies. It would be like offering, about a 5 year old child the opportunity to run a marathon. Their little legs can't take it. And wild horses are racehorses are trained to do that, but they're also over-medicated. And I talked before about animals as product. Definitely wild horses are very expensive product for some people, and they will do whatever they have to do to keep them running. And as I said, it involves drugs, it involves pushing the horse past its endurance, and a lot of these horses are considered disposable. After their racing career is over, they are sold for slaughter. So, what do I think about horse racing? If it could be done in a humane way, and if the horses were allowed to reach full maturity, it's possible it would be okay, but that's not really part of the game right now. It is a business, and they want to get as much out of the horses as soon as they can. So I'm not in favor of it.
Well, I have to understand your points. And, you know, that's such an investment that they make in these racehorses. My goodness, millions of dollars for one animal. And it just is. It's a big business. And that seems to me, once you get big business involved, I hate to sound like a biased person, but I am biased. Things just are not wonderful and not good for the subjects involved, like the horses, the jockeys, all that. And you wanted to talk about this some more?
Oh, I wanted to go back to something I mentioned before the break, a court case that was decided yesterday. And it has to do with not necessarily the wild horses, but it has to do with our high desert environment and grazing. A BLM employee reported overgrazing and theft by ranchers, and this is in northern Nevada, far northern Nevada, near the Utah border. But he was fired for doing that. And the reason he was fired is because, really, since the Bundy standoff in southern Nevada, many cattlemen and other lives and sheep, other livestock businesses, corporations, have been allowed to self-monitor. And that means they graze their cattle or sheep when and where they want to. And it is not their private land, so they're not looking at generations of, you know, your great-granddaddy's ranch. You're looking at public lands which belong to all of us. And he reported overgrazing, and he was fired actually, the reasons he was fired were he lost his badge for 5 minutes, and he made it hard to for some misfiling of folders. In fact, it was found yesterday that he was fired as a whistleblower, because BLM is in, he is a BLM employee who is trying to protect the range. And he has been reinstated with back pay because the courts found that all he was doing was his job. He was actually acting as a steward of the range. And the Bureau of Land Management fired him for that.
You know, that's a rare story.
It
that
is.
It's one of a kind.
That's why I was excited to share it. And if you just Google BLM whistleblower, and the story broke yesterday, and you can put overgrazing. And he was talking about livestock, not wild horses.
Yeah, that is amazing. Did he bring the suit himself to protest his firing?
I'm trying to remember who he worked with. Oh, PEER, P-E-E-R, all big letters. And it's public employees, and they're working for the public employees, environmental something. And if you look at PEER, P-E-E-R, all caps, and Google that, you will find it's an environmental organization that is trying to support public employees who are standing up for the land, not for the corporations that are infringing on our lands.
Now, that's some good news.
Yes.
I'm going to write that down, P-E-E-R. That's very interesting. So, okay, stop me anytime if you have something else you want to share with us.
And I hope somebody else will call in. I know there are a lot. I kind of have an overview of wild horses, and there's so many of you that are specialists in one area or the other.
No doubt. And there's so many different groups around Reno and around Washoe County. And any of you are more than welcome to call. You want to give them the number, Terry?
The number is 844-790-TALK, T-A-L-K, or 8255.
That is it. So we hope to hear from you out there. And meanwhile, we advocates, animal advocates, we're always emphasizing this bad news because what can you do? You've got so much bad news to deal with. But here's some good news, so I thought I'd share that and see if you'd heard about this, Terry. According to the American Wild Horse, is it committee or association?
Campaign.
American Wild Horse Campaign. This was a alert they put out on October the 19th, California is taking action to save wild horses. The problem was that in 2018 alone, nearly 80,000 American horses, both wild and domestic, were taken to Canada or Mexico and slaughtered for human consumption. So there's your problem. So that's why the AWHC sponsored Assembly Bill 128 in California, legislation to strengthen protections for horses from slaughter to help put a stop to this. And by goodness, it passed, and it was signed into law by the governor of California.
That is fantastic because, you know, we were just talking about the racehorses, and they often go to slaughter. The problem looking at this may be a jump for a lot of you, but the problem in looking at a racehorse as a meat product is that they are pumped full of drugs. So their flesh is not necessarily great for human consumption. Wild horses, on the other hand, are pure. And that's why they are in demand at our borders. And they are, you can see photographs taken in slaughter yards, and you can tell that they are wild Mustangs, formerly wild Mustangs, because they have the BLM freeze brand on their necks. And so if you see that freeze brand on the neck, sometimes they have brands other places, but that's the most typical. That is a formerly wild horse. And that's illegal for the Bureau of Land Management to sell them. However, there are cases where that's happened. Also, once somebody has title to a wild horse, and sometimes you buy them outright. I bought one of mine outright. Once you buy them outright, you can do with them as you please. You are discouraged in the contract from using them for commercial purposes, but BLM doesn't have the staffing to go check on everyone. A lot of those horses do go to slaughter.
So now then, the law that prevents them from being sold for slaughter is a federal law, is that right?
Yes.
Yes, well...
And so California is, as it does in many things, is bucking laws, federal laws, that they don't agree with. And I'm cool with that. I would love to see Nevada do more of that.
You know, there were times when I brought up things like that during the trapping campaign, and I was always told we didn't have jurisdiction. But hey, maybe California is leading the way in that as well. Thank you so much for being with us today, Terry.
Thank you.
Best of luck for you and your dog and your family.
Okay, thank you.
Clap their hands or paws or anything they got now. All those creatures got a place in the choir.